Mitch.
So July,
that's true.
Yeah. So Derby Days is actually the 15th and the 16th of July.
Right. July. Oh,
yeah.
I was thinking it was this one. Okay. And then we have to get set up.
So
that's the latest one.
So we have a month. a month and a week, actually.
Yeah, like I said, I was.
And there's.
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention.
So I think I have the.
You got the right one?
I think so.
So I would imagine. The next. YNA meeting.
Yeah, what else?
July.
They don't know.
July 6th. Wednesday, first Wednesday.
I bring the City of Yamhill City Council meeting Wednesday, June 8th, 2022 at 7 p.m. to order. We are in person and we are virtual. May I get a roll call, please, from council?
Are you in here?
I'm on here.
We have council online. We are muted. Do we want to be muted? We'll now open up for public comment. Anybody that wants to provide public comment, please come forward and share.
So I'm going to hand these out first. This is part of my spiel. You want one?
Sure, if there's a map. Thank you. All right, first.
And you're probably already aware of it.
Yeah.
Do you want one, Pedro?
Planning.
So I wrote this out, so I'm going to read it versus trying to say it.
I'm sorry. Will you announce who you
are? I'm sorry. Patty Perrin, 215 North Maple Street. So this picture came across to me here just recently, and I was shocked, to say the least, when I saw it. So the condition of this building was brought to the attention of City Council in November and December of 2019. As of today, it has never been addressed since. I went through every single meeting minute and not one word has ever been said about it again. Council should be appalled by the condition of the building, not only the fact that it's a city facility, but the people work there. To me, it looks like a homeless camp that you would see in Portland. It appears there is black mold and severe water damage due to no roof overhang or gutters on the building. There seems to be money to paint City Hall, repaint the no parking areas, add a sidewalk next to Larson House, but not enough money to keep the Public Works building in good repair. All City Council members should have one thing as a top on top of their priority list. Keep our water and sewer infrastructure and all buildings and equipment maintained at all times. If the city does not have functioning water and sewer system with appropriate buildings and equipment, it will no longer exist. I get that everybody's jobs are non-paid, but each and every one that is on City Council and in the mayor's position did this on their own accord. Nobody forced you to be in these positions. And so it should be taken as a serious job, even though you don't get paid for it. It's everybody's responsibility to take into consideration what the impact it has on the people that work there, in the city as a whole, and the city as a whole. My request is that you do your research and understand what is being done, or in this case, what is not being done. Don't ignore issues brought to you by the residents as they see things that you may not be aware of. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Anybody else for public comment?
I guess Rocky's not going yet. So my name is Robert Davis. I live at 212 North Maple Street. I'm speaking as a citizen. I have five topics I'd like to discuss with the council about. At the past March 9th council meeting, and the new 57 home developers stated there would be final building plans submitted to the city. I would like a copy of these plans. Where do I get them?
They haven't been submitted yet.
Okay. That's a good answer. Number two, at the past city council meeting on April 13th, 2022, it was discussed about making a video of the water system and water plant. Is this video available yet? Okay. And number three, tonight I'm asking if the after action report YNA had asked for at the council meeting on April 13th, 2022, with regards to last year's water crisis, as the city declared emergency, enacted levels of water restrictions during the months of August, September, October, has been made. If it has, where do I get a copy?
There was not one made.
Okay. Number four, at the May 13th council meeting, you talked about a water town hall meeting. Are you still planning on this meeting being scheduled in the month of July? Finally, at the city council meeting on April 13th, 2022, Mayor Potter spoke about a disruption that occurred at the March 9th council meeting and had previously said she had addressed this issue by a letter. For the record, YNA received a letter dated March 24th from Mayor Potter. In this letter, the mayor indicated the disruption came from a member speaking as or for YNA. Our immediate reply to the mayor in a letter dated April 1st, 2022 was the person that caused the disruption was not speaking as or for YNA. The first sentence from this person speaking during this meeting indicated they were speaking for themselves as an individual. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Rocky, please. Your name for the record, sir.
Rocky Lawson, Second Hemlock. I have a compliment to give the city and the people who are responsible for exercising the action, and it is in the form of the yellow curb painting striping that has been accomplished. It is extremely valuable. There's a compliment. Then there's a concern that goes with the compliment, and the concern is because T&E is the site where there is the most likelihood that people will violate honoring that yellow striping that off the curb. And of course, that is a very, very dangerous intersection because you can't see. You just can't see. So I'm requesting that law enforcement reconsider when patrolling is accomplished, and if a car is sitting right there and you can't see the yellow paint because the car has got it covered up, that would be an indication that that person is parking where they shouldn't be. And I personally believe that if some action is taken right then, find out who the party is, and if a citation is worthwhile, so be it. If a warning is appropriate, and then please think about using social media to describe the event so that other people can read it and come to the conclusion, when I'm parking in front of T&E, or if there is a yellow curb and I'm parking, I need to be more sensitive about where I park.
Councilor Ichari, we are glad you were able to join us. Do you want to give us a roll call, please?
Ichari here.
Did you vote? Potter here. I think I was just the only one then. Glad you're here. Okay, any additional public comment? Any online for public comment? Raise your hand, please, or star 9. With none, no hands raised, and not seeing any, we will continue. Public comments is closed. Presentations, Water Advisory Committee. Please, sir.
Good evening. I will, sorry, these did not get in your packet. I don't believe they might have. Oh, okay. I did not get these in on the ahead of time. I'm sorry for that. We did, the Water Advisory did meet on May 31st. At that meeting, we came up with three recommendations we would like to propose to the City Council at this time. The first proposal is in regards to the log jam. HDH, who is doing the development for the new subdivision, has offered to pay the $100,000 for that. They have history doing these log jams, as they presented in their report. So it was the recommendation of the Water Advisory that the city look into, and if at all possible, authorizing HDH to do the log jam. Since they're paying for it, they have the experience doing it and working with the different government agencies to do that. It only makes sense to just turn that whole project over to them and let them do it.
And they agreed to pay the full amount?
They agreed to pay $100,000 when they presented their deal to council.
I thought that was already part of the whole thing we moved in.
In the packet they presented, they included the $100,000 for the log jam in their slideshow.
Is that the full cost of it?
That's what AKS came to. Could be more, could be less. But HPH has the experience doing those. They've done 4 or 5 as we presented, and they know how to work with those government agencies. So only makes sense. They have the experience and they're paying for it. Why not city just?
So the agencies that we need to get approval from, they've worked with and they're familiar with the processes. Okay, that's excellent.
So that was our recommendation, that the city just work with them and somehow move forward to do that. They're paying for it. The other thing that the Water Advisory is looking at and would recommend council consider is looking at going to a flat base rate for water, and then each user pay for each gallon that they use. Instead of doing the 4,000 gallon rate monthly, again, we have some people that don't use that amount. We have others that use more than that. A lot of the cities have gone to a flat base rate. You know, our water rate right now is, as we learned the other day, is we're losing money currently as far as what people are paying and coming in. So that needs to be addressed and fixed.
Will you clarify that for the record? I know that you've shared with me, but when you say we're losing money, what are you referring to?
What did Jason?
Yeah, we were calculating out that we're losing $11 per thousand.
So for every $1,000 that we spend, we're losing.
No, for every 1,000 gallons used, we're losing $11 through what we're producing, what it costs to make the water.
And a typical household does how many thousands of gallons?
Sure, I'd probably know. I mean, typically four.
If we go by the 4,000 gallons, we're losing $44 per user.
Per month?
Per month.
That adds up.
That's a lot of money
that could
be used to fix, update, repair. Mm-hmm. So the water advisory felt like that's a critical, and we need, I know there's studies that, you know, we've listened to AKS. We've heard, you know, well, we're in the average, we're not low, we're not high. That don't matter. We need to be what it's costing us to produce water, not what it costs Carlton to produce water. We need to do that. So that's a critical thing that we need to do.
Has the cost analysis been done for the flat rate? And
it has not. That's something that the council would need to raise to move forward. And we recommend, you know, anyway, getting that into this current budget we're working on.
It is. Currently in the budget? Yes.
So that's critical. That needs to be fixed like yesterday. The other thing that we recommend is that we include in the 22-23 budget about $50,000 to develop a second off-stream reservoir. Jason and AKS has done some preliminary data gathering, and in the area that's been logged, it is proposed that we could do between a 20 and 30 million gallon reservoir and hard pipe that directly to the plant instead of the current in-town where it's going to travel 3 miles to get to the plant and then we watch it go by. This could be hard piped directly and it would give the city another 20 to 30 million gallons to help out during the summer months. Again, this is not a long-term fix, but it's a short-term fix while we work on the other projects that are going to be 5 to 10 years out. It's a way to you know, help ease that pain a little bit. And I believe there's $50,000 that we can put in the water fund to cover that preliminary or what AKS would need to do to get that shovel ready. And the report was we could probably have that project ready to go in a year. But by this time next year, it's possible to have that, possibly have that ready to go and start the work on that.
So if we did the second impound or second reservoir, would we need the log jam?
We would still need the log jam, because the water level is not at the permitted height that we're supposed to be at. We're supposed to be at 17 inches above the intake. We are not at 17 inches. So we're currently in violation of our permits. And that's been a long thing that has not been addressed. So, you know, depending on HPH, if we got right on the ball with them, I don't know what their ability is or what, you know, how well they know the agencies that we need to work with. If they could make that happen in the in-stream work period this year or not. But it's something, if we're going to go that route, we need to be talking to them tomorrow, working on that. The other items, any questions on those three recommendations of the water advisory has at the moment?
Is that already in there, said?
But the 50,000 for, you could do it out of this year's budget, but I think, you know, there's money in next year's budget. Just glancing through the budget for next year, I noticed there's $70,000 for media filters for in next year's budget. I've got a grant for half of that, and the other half came out of this year's budget. So there's $70,000 right there. That 50 of that could go to get everything ready to go to have this shovel ready to move forward. And then we can look at grants to possibly make that happen by next year. This would be an off-stream. It's easier to do an off-stream than an in-stream reservoir, less community castle. The other advantage this would give us, if we had two impounds, that once this other one was online, we could drain the first one and actually dredge it and clean it and vice versa. Whereas right now, if you drain the current impound, you have to do that during the summer. That's when you need water. So you're not gaining anything. This would benefit both parties.
And we're talking millions of gallons, something a storage tank is not capable of.
20 to 30 million gallons. And again, this would be hard piped directly to the plant.
3 miles up.
No, I mean, you know where water's coming from.
The new impound would be, roughly 1,500 feet away from our water plant.
We're feeding water from the other one into that one to fill it?
No.
Or how's that one?
It's in line, so we just draw during high flows. So when the creeks, you know, rushing through in the winters, we just draw in everything we need to do, store it, and then we'd feed down to the water plant, whatever need we, you know, during the summer or drought periods.
But it's still be coming off of the stream, though.
Yeah, so the stream would, you know, compensate, say we could take it down to 330, then we could feed in from this additional impound, you know, 200 gallons, 150 gallons, just to always maintain 440, 500 gallons per minute.
I guess that the initial fill of the new impound would be for the new reservoir.
It would be coming from the same source. It's really, in my opinion, a feasible, cost-effective project to get us where we need to be so we can start thinking long-term and not have that curtailment always staring us in the eyes. So, I mean, this is a real win-win project, especially knowing that we're not going to see any cost relief or production from the trees or any kind of growth on that timber that's already been logged off. So take advantage of what we have.
How long do you think it would take to get that project implemented?
Like Ryan touched on, I mean, we're talking about a year. I mean, it would be fully ready and shovel ready, meaning we can go out and get grants as soon as all the preliminary stuff is done, geotech, things of that nature. Yeah, it's in our ballpark.
Did NKS give you a construction estimate?
They did not.
That would be the $50,000 for
the planning.
I can speak to that a little bit more. So John's saying he can give me a rough guesstimate of what the possibles would be, but he cannot give me a hard figure on the construction dollar for dollar. You know, he can kind of round up or round down what it would cost.
That's going to change. That's changing daily.
Yeah.
Your cost changes by the hour.
Really, my goal personally, and I think the water advisories at the same time, was to get this to be a shovel-ready project and real feasible to move forward with it as soon as we, you know.
I think we're waiting, you know, if we approve for AKS to do what needs to be done so we have the information to start going for grants.
We have to have the information.
We've got to have that. We've got to have the, you know, the leak detection, the water conservation plan that's currently being worked on. If we can get this piece, then we'll have, I believe, most, if not 90% of what we need to start actively looking for a grant that will tie into this. And then we can start working on the permitting process. And maybe over the winter, we're lucky enough to get those grants. Maybe by next summer, when we can start doing the work, you know, go out to bid early next summer and have them maybe by next fall have that done. I mean, it's going to be a lot of work and we need to move.
So what John's telling me, John from AKS is telling me, is that this would give us 3 months of consistent water without even using anything from the creek. We could supplement the city 3 months with this 20 to 30 million gallon.
So if the creek dried up over the summertime, we could still provide summertime water full capacity.
Yes.
Without even having the creek available to us.
Yeah, barring any issues, but yeah, 2 to 3 months.
Excuse me, is this the new off-channel reservoir feasibility study?
Yes.
We received an estimate from John Christensen. Estimated cost is $10,000 for the study open. And if you haven't seen that, I just forwarded it.
Yeah, I have not seen that.
I just forwarded it to you, so.
Yeah. So we get 20 to 30 million gallons from this one. We currently have 9 in the old one. If we had then the opportunity to dredge it, we could get maybe 20. So that 50 million gallons in reserve that
40 to 50.
Yeah. 40 is still here.
Would that allow us to not have to do an intertie with
At some point, you're still going to have to do one. That's still either Hillsborough or McMinnville. That's probably 5 to 10 years down the road.
That's a long-term solution.
I mean, that's where we need to go eventually. But this just bites us that 5 to 10 years while we're working on that intertide stuff.
Not so emergent.
It eases the burden during the summer. In my case, and said we would probably not have to go into restrictions because for that new impound being directly linked to the plant, we're not losing anything as it goes by. We're getting basically 100% of what's in there.
Yeah, there's no evaporation or.
Well, there'll be a little evaporation, but you won't.
Not the 80%.
You won't be standing there watching it flow by as we are now.
Okay. Being shallower, what did AKS say is the success rate of these grants? I don't know what they're
So to get this shovel ready, you know, you're looking at roughly 60,000 all said and done. But getting to that point allows us to go out and facilitate other types of income and money to support that program or to support that inbound, to support that reservoir.
Right.
Yes.
Those
grants. I feel pretty positive about it because if they see us taking the action and actually it becomes part of our plan, it's ready and it's engineered, it makes their work so much easier. All they're doing is funding it. They're not working through all the preliminaries and so forth. So.
When the federal government is bringing down all kinds of infrastructure money, mostly for water usage. And so this is the time to really jump on that bandwagon. And if we've got the paperwork and the data all set to go, we could really be on the forefront of acquiring some of that federal dollars.
Yeah, I mean, if we can get all this done and be ready when those grants come down, it's basically fill out the paperwork, send it in.
Collect the check.
Hopefully, yeah. So. But yeah, it's not a long-term solution. It's a short-term, but it does buy us time to work on those long-term solutions.
Okay.
So those three things are our major recommendations, you know, that we work on and get done in the next couple, 3 months. Sooner than better.
You have on here grants. Is the Water Advisory Committee going to work on seeking grant opportunities?
We'll be happy to look at grants. I mean, I look at grants every day when they come by. See, again, a lot of the problem is we don't have the paperwork. We're not ready to submit. And so a lot of those grants are looking for shovel-ready projects. Mm-hmm. So if we can get this done and have it shovel-ready, we can, when that comes by, mm-hmm. So here we go. Here's all of our documentation. We're ready to go.
Excellent.
So that's our three recommendations. Again, the other thing the committee is working on that's on our agenda, you know, we continue to look at equipment and maintenance standards for both the city and the districts. We talked about, you know, as the districts upgrade their stuff, maybe using the same meters, valves is what the city's using. And then that way there could be some sharing and cost savings, maybe purchasing, you know, water district has a leak and, you know, they can't get a band or whatever right away. By chance, maybe the city's got one, it would fit right in there. So that's kind of the things we're looking at. And the districts that have been in our meetings are very supportive of that and are willing to look at that. Again, water rates goes back to that flat rate and the user, what the user pays. Education, I believe you're supposed to do your second reading on the ordinance tonight. Wasn't that supposed to be? I didn't see it on the agenda. But last week was the, or last month was the first reading. So then education, once that ordinance is adopted, we'd like to start putting that out, getting it out to the public.
Do we still do need, Peter, do we still do a second reading on that ordinance?
I thought we went back to a second reading and then had waived the second readings with emergency, is the way I wrote it.
With the emergency?
Yeah, emergency. Meaning you don't have to, meaning it can become implemented immediately instead of after 30 days.
So the second reading is not required or necessary?
Yeah. Right.
With what you're saying?
Yeah, because okay. There was a public hearing and then it waived the second reading after, because you'd already had another first public
hearing before that. I don't think the council ever voted on it to adopt it, though.
They did take a vote. Sent you, I put all the edits and everything in and sent you a copy that they're applying.
I think it came in just as I walked over here, so
I'll, yeah. You're good to go.
Okay, so we'll get that, we'll start getting that information out. We're starting to work with Jason and Kyle and getting gathering data and developing those charts for usage and stuff. Again, we're still looking at grants as they come by. You know, short-term improvements, fixing leaks, and then this impound. And then, of course, the long-term is, again, the tie lines with either McMinnville or Hillsboro. Letter of intent went out to City of Hillsboro. There was a question about SDC fees. Make sure we got back a response from them. There's ways, different ways to work on that. We're looking at kind of the committee's recommendation. If we do either we go McMinnville or Hillsboro, not just be an emergency connection. So this crisis we hook up, because then you have to flush that line. If you got 5 or 6 miles or 11 miles of pipe, you got a lot of water that you're paying for to flush it out before you can use it. If we just talk about maybe like 25%. Of our daily usage, we take from wherever we tie in. So we're constantly flowing that line. And then it's, you know, during the summer, we needed more. We had the ability to open that valve a little bit more and take on what we needed. So that is our report. Any questions?
You talked about maintenance standards and working with the districts on maintaining their lines. Are we working on updating their contracts? I know they haven't been addressed in a few years. Are we?
I think that would fall in when we start doing the flat, or we start doing the rate stuff. I would look that once that is finalized, that then that would be the time to upgrade those.
Or update those.
Update them to that standard. Okay. I think we're still waiting for one contract.
That one is in the water district. I contacted them and I'm working on their agreement with the attorney.
Okay. So that would be, I guess, Jason, correct me, but I think that would be the water advisories. Once we get the rates, then we update everything.
Okay. The reason I ask is I was going to encourage that when you do upgrade or update the district's contracts, to maybe include the maintenance planning in that and how the city can support, you know, how they both can actually support one another in maintaining the lines together as a contracted team.
Yeah, I know we talked with McMinnville, and McMinnville was willing to work with us if we needed to order stuff when they ordered, you know, maybe it's just delivered to Mac. We have to get it from Mac to here, but there might be some cost savings.
Well,
and so McMinnville was, it didn't kick us out, but they said, you know, that would be an option if you were willing to work with. And I think Hillsborough would probably.
I know Newburgh during the curtailment had the same system in needed parts, so we needed to work through them to get it here. I mean, city relationships, Hillsborough and McMinnville and Newburgh have all been great. So
that's some options that, you know, I think Jason's looking at, and we're looking at is, you know, how can we maybe save on some of those things that we need? And, you know, like I said, we might have to go to McMinnville or Hillsborough, but, you know, we don't have to pay for freight for valve to come clear out here.
Is that like a bonus to, did we do the membership to the regional water?
No.
We have not done that? Are we going
no,
to?
No, I'm sorry, I was confused. I thought you were saying like that went through Orwin, but say that again.
It was my fault. I didn't word it right. The regional water committee that meets regularly that we talked about last meeting, that they have a membership fee and they have a membership to be a part of that. Have we become members of that committee yet?
No, but I did go to their meeting and they opened their arms to us. I mean, it was pretty welcoming. They already had some stuff in the works. So John from McMinnville Water and Light, John Dietz, that is, just kind of spoke to the upcoming projects that they have. And, but as far as being part of the membership, we have not paid anything into that.
Okay. Would this type of material sharing be part of that, or is that a separate?
I mean, it's separate, but at the same time, anytime you can gain that trust and make that relationship even stronger, I mean, for the minimal cost of what it is to be part of the membership, yeah, I would definitely encourage it.
I think the advantage being part of that is they acquire more water rights and acquire it as the group. We actually then own some of that water right. And so, you know, maybe they get more water rights off the Willamette. Well, we're never going to take water off the Willamette, but they're willing, you know, we do tie in with Mac. They're willing to transfer what we have on the Willamette to McGuire, and then water rights off McGuire. So,
and vice versa, would they have water rights off of Yamhill?
No.
No, they have water rights off the Willamette and McGuire, and there are a couple of streams up there at McGuire.
So we don't have to exchange our water rights
no.
in order to access theirs.
No, by being part of this regional group, you're going to help pay to acquire some of those rights when they come up. I think Lafayette acquired some water rights in connection with Minville off of the Willamette. So they actually own some rights. So I think McMinnville now has about 50 million a day that they can pull off of the Willamette. Currently they're pulling nothing. But it's they're like 10 years out, I think, on their plan to be up in cooling water. They currently have 50 million a day, I believe, water rights. And as more of those water rights become available, they're constantly watching. And that's what the regional group is doing. They're watching, and as they come up, they're jumping on those. And so then that's when you would have probably a little more costs than just your fees. You'd have some legal fees as you work to acquire those water rights. Mm-hmm. So win-win, I think. You know, I think the fee for the membership was not that much.
No, it wasn't much.
$250.
honestly could not tell you the exact price.
I don't remember it.
I know it's reasonable.
So yeah, agree.
That's just to be part of the committee. I mean, once you start helping them buy water rates, it's
starting into some legal fees, it's going to go up, but just the membership in the committee, it's, I don't believe it was that much. But again, you're sitting at the table with more people.
No, I hear you.
More knowledge and stuff of the region. So that would still be our recommendation, too, that you join that committee. We never buy water from McDonald's, but just have that kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. So for future.
I think we already approved that last month to do the committee, didn't we?
No, that was just an approval for me to go to the, to be partake in the meeting. Okay.
And then you were going to come back with some.
Yeah, information. Exactly. It's great. Like Brian stated, you're at the table with people who are moving forward, you know, so your knowledge is only growing so much more. It's a very feasible cost, you know, to be part of that committee and to see if you want to partake in the future of what Yamhill County is.
So Jason, will you come back next month with how much to be on the committee and if it's annually or monthly? Or if it's a one time?
By mid next week, at least, at the latest.
I think it's annual. Mm-hmm. But I'd have to go back
to get the answer to that question.
So, any other questions?
No, not at this time. We will address these so you have answers before the end of the evening during the department report. Or the new business. Okay. Thank you. Yamhill Neighborhood Association?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor and Council, for hearing the Yamhill Neighborhood Association again today. Today, the Yamhill Neighborhood Association would like to talk about our help with officially starting a neighborhood watch program in the zip code of 97148. Woo. With additional support from many concerned residents within this area and its membership. As of April 25th, 2022, YNA had joined the National Sheriff's Organization and also joined the National Neighborhood Watch for support, documentation, to officially start a neighborhood watch program. On May 6th of 2022, YNA had talked with Police Chief Ray Raven to find out if the Yamhill Police Department would be interested in supporting and joining our efforts to start a neighborhood watch program. Chief Graven said, absolutely. They would gladly support our and join our efforts as this kind of program should bring the residents closer together to better support each other and the community within and help reduce crime in our city in the process. Furthermore, Chief Graven had called us right after this meeting and informed us that he had talked with the sheriff of Yamhill County, and he was also on board with our efforts. I thought that was really nice. On May 10th, YNA attended its first meeting the community had put together. And at that meeting, we discussed what YNA's involvement could achieve. Because YNA has a 501c3 status, this could help the total community with fundraising efforts and financial support for this program, as well as its organizational skills, as well as use all documentation provided to us by the National Neighborhood Watch Association. On May 16th, YNA attended the second community meeting where the community residents formed a name called the North Yamhill Community Watch Group, which they started a Facebook page by the same name. At that same meeting, YNA, through the Neighborhood National Watch Program's documentation, provided a 20-minute slide presentation about the basics of how to start a neighborhood watch and informed the group we have 10 more slide presentations, as well as over 250 additional supporting documents from the National Neighborhood Watch Association at our disposal. Well, that has since changed. There are actually 19 presentations of slideshows, or however you want to call them, available to us for training purposes, substantial information. On May 30th, Shay Corrigan, representing North Yamhill Community Watch Group, and two members of the YNA Steering Committee attended a meeting with Denise Bacon, a field coordinator of the Family Ford Foundation. At that meeting, YNA presented its mission and its association with the North Yamhill Community Watch Group to help start and move forward a watch program and to address the issues of obtaining grant money and other financial support. Shay, representing North Yamhill Community Watch Group, spoke about their involvement with YNA and what their plans were moving forward. So the reason I'm here is today, June 8th, we are asking the mayor and the council members if they would be willing to support our efforts to provide help of the city's maintenance department with putting up some neighborhood watch signs within the community at specific locations when purchased, plus maybe providing some initial funding so YNA can USPS mail all the residents in the zip code 97148 about this new neighborhood watch project, asking for their support or attendance at the upcoming scheduled meetings that North Yamhill Community Watch Group has set up. In closing, I'd like to thank the mayor again, the council, for listening to my presentation, and hope to move forward with this issue.
Thank you. So you're seeking grant funding for the Neighborhood Associate, or the Neighborhood Watch Program, correct?
Yes.
And we'll be putting out grant requests?
Well, the initial meeting was with Denise, based on YNA's 501c3 status to obtain grants from the Family Ford Foundation. But in it, because we have associated ourselves with the Neighborhood Watch. North Yamhill Community Neighborhood Watch Program. Denise saw that as a benefit to both parties, both concerned, and she said, yeah, I can see that. And she said, where would you like to start, $25,000 or $50,000? And I went, and the person I had with me at the time, which was Jay Disbro, you could have picked his job off the table too, because what Jay had originally spoken with Denise Bacon about was a $7,000 grant. And then at the end of this meeting, Denise said, well, regardless of whether you get the $25,000 or the $50,000 or the $7,500 grant, it doesn't matter. She says, I have a credit card and I'm not afraid to use it. So she said, I would support YNA's effort with the Neighborhood Watch Group, provide food, beverage, whatever you might happen to need.
But before the, before we ask her for any support, what we're here to ask the city is to get some maintenance help with putting up signs that we might happen to have purchased, because one of the benefactors in the North Yamhill Community Watch program had already offered to donate 40 signs, which is no small amount of money. With that said, we still need them put up and still need them attached. So we're asking the city to participate in this. And if the city is willing to supply us with a little bit of postage money so that we can send out to the entire 97148, so much the better. We would get that ball rolling in addition to our participation, let's say at Derby Days, where we're having a booth set up and going to be talking about all these issues at the booth. So, yeah.
So the Ford Foundation is involved. What would the $50,000 go to? It's a neighborhood watch, right?
No, it would go to YNA to support all its efforts, including the neighborhood watch. It has to go to YNA because we're the only 501c3 that has approached her.
Sure.
But we have already considered, and we have a meeting scheduled with Shea Corrigan next Monday to work out the details as to their organization. They want to be laid back and they don't want any formalities per se, where with Denise Bacon, she has to have some formalities and whatnot. So we were going to provide the Neighborhood Watch with its clerical assistance and its documentation and some things moving forward with regard to that. And we would also provide our 501c3 status for fundraising and donation process.
So it's two separate organizations then.
But it's two separate organizations.
Just partnering.
Just partner. Yes.
Support one another.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I see it as a win-win.
So the Neighborhood Watch isn't needing any funding. It's the YNA that needs the funding.
No, it's the YNA that can get the funding.
Because of the
501c3. Because of the
501c3. But the Neighborhood Watch doesn't need the funding, do they? I've been a part of Neighborhood Watches, and I've never known any of them to,
yeah,
to need,
well,
money.
You know, a lot of meetings that go off, if you provide a little bit of food and beverage, you would get more people. That's kind of a poor way of doing business, but it's a known fact. So with that, YNA would supply the food and beverage at every meeting the Neighborhood Watch has, and would be attending, and would be doing a lot of the training, and would be doing a lot of the clerical work, but keeping funding separate. So if we get any donations for the Neighborhood Watch, they would go into the Neighborhood Watch funding bank account or checking account or funding aspect separately. And the funding we get from the Ford Foundation, we would share with the Neighborhood Watch as we move forward. For instance, we're going to put out a big wing day where we're going to ask a bunch of city residents to show up and volunteer. You know, we're going to supply sandwiches and food and beverage and ask them to show up and get some signatures and get some participation.
So I hear what you're saying, and I think supporting one another is a great plan. I'm very excited. I know the police officers have all shared with the rest of with the council members that they're happy to participate in making a Neighborhood Watch program get started, that it's excellent. And with all the catalytic converters disappearing, it's kind of a big deal and it's important,
yeah,
right now. So I encourage you to continue working with the North Yamhill Community Watch Group, because that, I think it is a great plan for them to do. However, as you know from being on the budget committee, supporting nonprofits has been limited for the city of Yamhill. And I don't know that they'll be willing or able to take on an additional donation to a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. So I'll ask the council members if they're interested in doing that, but I as being part of the budget committee, you probably understand.
Yeah, well,
that's kind of
I had to ask.
Yeah, of course. It don't hurt to ask. But as far as the hanging of the signs, if we have available, I mean, how does that work for you, Jason? Do you have staff time and availability? Mm-hmm. I know you guys are really swamped with.
Yeah, I just have to know, I mean, what kind of signs are we talking about?
10 inch by 16
signs, or the signs that go on stop signs. I mean,
you know, all I know is what I see in the catalog, so I can't tell you what kind of sign, where they go on, or how they attach.
What are they made of?
They're made of metal.
Metal.
And they've got the burglar, and it says neighborhood watch right on the sign.
So Alderman, please.
If the signs he's talking about, if the city's okay with putting them on stop signs and whatnot, you don't have to spend any money on anything for putting up posts. Just attach them to signs that are already in place.
Right.
And it's a matter of some screws and some drill that I'm pretty sure they know how to use. Yeah. And it wouldn't really cost much other than just some time.
Okay. The city can install them in the public right of way, but not on people's private property. So. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Council wants to support it. I mean,
well, I want to make sure you've got the personnel and time management to incorporate that.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you were provided with a map of where they would prefer each one to go, and you had an idea?
I mean, I just want all the material. That's all I ask.
Sure.
Yeah. The screws, the or bolts.
Yeah.
Is that fair enough?
Works for me.
There we go.
You.
We have a plan.
Thank you.
Is that your report?
That's it.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, you're certainly welcome. And sorry I didn't provide it for everybody. If you'd like me to send Sharon a copy, and you guys can get my official document that I read here tonight. It just took me an extra day or two to type it up.
It would be good to have a part of the record. That would be great.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And Sharon, do we have any representatives from the Downtown Association online? And if so, I ask them to raise their hand if they are wanting to speak.
Not seeing anybody.
Okay, then we'll move on. All right. I did want to give council an opportunity to for the donation to the nonprofit of the YNA, including them in the budget. Is anybody, are you all okay with that decision, or anybody that wants to rediscuss it with not being able to provide the funding because we just don't have it?
Yeah, right, not right now. Wait until we get through the budget, but we're not done with it yet. We still need to, there's a lot to look at still.
Okay, all right. And Councilor Ichari, you're okay with that decision?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Unfinished business. There is none. So we'll move on to new business. The tentative city administrator, tentatively consider the appointment.
The purpose of this was originally there might have been more time for deliberations and we may have been making a recommendation publicly, but at this point, I'd be interested in getting some direction on when you'd like to meet in executive session to make a decision.
Good question. We need to do it soon. We need to do it before July, right?
Yeah. Earliest eligible time is Friday.
It's your Friday.
You won't be here Friday?
The 16th. 16th, 17th.
24 hours. 24 hours to notice. Okay, that's helpful.
Budget on Wednesday.
Time on
so Friday around 4:30. Okay, will you check your calendar for that?
Yeah, I'm checking.
Thank you. And you're not available Friday afternoon. Marcy?
I'm good on the 10th anytime.
Okay. Can you, if we do schedule it for Friday afternoon, will you provide a statement to the council that we can include your input on?
Friday evening or afternoon?
If we do schedule it for Friday afternoon and you're not able to make it, or anytime if you're not able to make it, can you provide us a statement of your choice so we can include that in our decision making?
It's Friday afternoon, I might be able to make that. It's Friday evening, I can't make it. But yes, I'll get your statement if I'm not here.
Okay, thank you. And when you say afternoon, you're talking about what time in the afternoon are you available? Midday afternoon. Okay. I don't, Kay, I think you're still in school, aren't you?
You guys do what you need to do, and I'll provide a statement of the afternoon.
I can be there by 4 o'clock on Friday.
Okay. I think 4 o'clock is what we need to do. I can't make it before that. Kay's working at that time. So if you can join us, great. That would be great. If not, a statement would be good too. Thank you. So Friday, where did I put this? And that's enough time to post. Executive session.
Anyway, in the event it goes another way, what's the contingency on that? Or what is the thought process? Or is this like set on the two people?
That, the executive session, you're welcome to speak about that too, whether or not you want to try an alternative approach.
We are on time crunch, I understand that. So.
Yeah, just in order to wrap up the process for the applicants in a timely manner,
that would be helpful. There's no time during next week, is there? We've got graduations and budget meetings and.
Yeah. Next week is rough for me. I'm busy every night.
All right, Friday, 4 o'clock, Kay. For an executive session.
I'll be there.
Thank you. Okay, so we will meet in an executive session and we will discuss and make a plan from there. Will you have the information from today's interviews with them? Mm-hmm. So we'll have that to go with?
Yeah, I got it.
Good.
So if you got verbal feedback as an elected official from this afternoon, if you want to summarize that in writing, that would be great. I'll collect everything. And I know that I heard from at least one person that's going to send me their notes. So.
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right, Planning Commission file CA-2104, temporary carport garage public hearing.
Hold on So my understanding is that the Planning Commission decided to deny the application for the design standards for the carport. So what you have for you today is you need to decide what you want to do as a legislative body. You can overturn what they're saying. And so this is just an indication of what you want to do. You can overturn their recommendation and adopt the code. You can make amendments to the code and adopt the code. You can table it.
Thank you.
You can table the code for a future date because there's no time limit for legislative actions. You can do nothing, which essentially kills the, or upholds, upholds the denial. And then the recommendation from the planner that he thought would just be the most efficient and take care of it from beginning to end would be that the planning commission withdraw their application. And that way, nothing needs to happen moving forward. But if they want to revisit the issue, there's no time limits or anything for them to come back and revisit it. Or they don't have to wait for a certain time frame to come back and revisit the issue.
So the planning commission doesn't want to pursue it any further.
Right, I don't believe that they were able to come to an agreement on what the standards should look like.
Okay. They've been working on that for a year. They've had lots of discussion. So council members, what's your thoughts on the planning commission's decision and how do you think we should proceed? Questions? Councilor Ichari, do you have any questions or thoughts?
Yeah, just more information, I guess. Sharon, could you scroll down just a little bit? So what kind of amendments did they want to make? Like, is it size or the way it's set into the ground or rests on the ground? That's what I would like to know.
Yeah. And setbacks, what they look like, how they're anchored,
because
appropriate.
She froze.
So those are some examples.
It has been a year where this come from. Mm-hmm. They just have issues with different carports. Before this?
It was brought up by the previous planning commission as a topic they wanted to address, and they never came to a conclusion. Okay, you're back from being froze. Did you have a thought or a question?
No, I don't understand. If they don't, they're not ready to move forward, then we just don't do anything, right?
Correct.
Okay, I'm in favor of just not doing anything then.
But then by not doing anything, they're not going to get any clarity about what you decided. I mean, they'll know that, but it might be beneficial just to suggest to them, and they don't have to withdraw the application. And that completes the process instead of leaves it open.
They're still attempting to work on this? Is that what the deal is?
No, they're done with it. They're just wanting it to come to us if we want them to continue pursuing it or not.
They want to draw, they just draw for now. I don't know. I missed this one as well. Go ahead.
Do you want a motion?
Sure, we'll take a motion.
I make a motion. We ask the planning commission to withdraw the application.
Ichari, second.
May I get a vote, please?
Hadeen, aye.
Potter, aye.
Ichari, aye.
And we withdraw. Thank you. City caucus. So it's that time of year that we do that. So council just needs to say, let's do it, essentially.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what your past practice has been, but if you need to have a public acknowledgement, then that would probably be a good thing. And we'll make sure that the materials are up online so that people have easy access to them.
Excellent. So there is a packet or an application that people submit if they're interested in a caucus, how it's been in the past, is the City of Yamhill is like one of only two cities in the state of Oregon that does a city caucus each year. And it's a tradition that has been going on for a long time. And so we have continued that tradition. And essentially it is an opportunity for anybody that is interested in a vacant seat that's coming available on the council to put their hat in the ring. And they come to a public meeting, they offer up their hat, or somebody nominates them to offer them into the race. And all the people that are going for a certain position give a little speech about why they think they need to be a part or want to be a part of that position. And then the public that attends in that particular meeting votes for which person they would like to represent the city as a city ticket on the ballot at the November election. So it's really cool process. And it's been kind of neat to be able to participate in the past. So what it would mean for us here now is we would need to prepare the applications for anybody interested to pick up, make an announcement to the public that this is coming up and they have the opportunity to volunteer and step up into a city position. And if they're interested, to show up on the night that they need to show up on.
And what time of the year do you have that? Like, this is primary season, but it's not this early, right?
I'll get the staff report. I've got all the details there.
Thank you, Sharon.
You're welcome.
See that.
That's okay. So I can provide.
Is it on the staff report that's at the end?
It's
the July council meeting?
Wednesday, July 6th, which is not the council meeting. The council meeting is on July 13th.
And so it would be a separate meeting then?
I was just basing it upon what you guys had done the last time you had a caucus. So if you want to change it or do something different.
No, works.
I just set it for the city council chambers because Kim mentioned that you had it at the park last time because of COVID.
Yeah, it's so we didn't. So the council chambers would be good.
Yeah, and I put Wednesday.
We have in the past.
We had quite a few at the park last
time. We did have quite a few at the park last time. That's true. We could hold it at the school. Any opinions on where we should hold the caucus?
What about the park again?
Want to do it at the park again?
Okay.
We didn't have,
nice.
Did we have sound equipment last time?
Well, yes, there was a microphone, I'm not mistaken, but that was it.
So we need sound, I have
sound equipment. We'll probably need sound.
So is this separate than city council?
It is separate than city council. It's going to be on July 6th, this is a separate. A separate meeting. We're adding another meeting.
We're going to change it to the park.
Yeah, that park would be good.
And then I believe you guys have to make a motion since this is kind of a formal election.
It is.
And then direct, I've got in here, authorize the city administrator or staff or whomever, call the caucus and provide the public services.
I'm going to call a motion then.
What all do we need in our motion?
Hold the caucus at the park.
So I make a motion that we have city administrator, city staff, call the caucus and provide all the public notices for the July caucus meeting.
HR, second.
Vote, please.
Aye.
Hadeen, aye.
Potter, aye.
HR, aye.
We have a caucus.
I'm sorry, who seconded the motion?
Sorry.
Thank you. All right, consent agenda for last month's council meeting minutes and the financial statement. I did have a question on the financial statement. We get these every month and we review them every month. Do we take these into consideration in preparing the budget?
Monthly expenditures each month. The one that the department heads look at is in a different format. But yes,
is it? Okay. All right. So the finances are updated monthly in order to.
Yeah, well, you generally do not, because of the timing of this meeting in the fiscal monthly fiscal cycle. Sometimes Kim's not able to reconcile the previous month. So sometimes they're unreconciled numbers. So they're, what I mean is they're a little glitchy.
Well, that helps me to know. But the one where we would get it next month.
Mm-hmm.
So they would be glitchy each month. Because we wouldn't get the month before, after it's been cleared.
The alternative is just to have a month delay.
That may not be a bad idea. That way we actually get accurate numbers.
If you see a variance, it's only going to be by like $25 or something like that.
It's usually small, like I said, but it's still not, you know, accounting accurate.
Okay. I don't know. What do you guys want to do? Do you want to delay and get the actual numbers, or continue with the prepared accounting information?
I would like to have actual numbers.
Actual numbers?
Actual numbers would be.
Okay. So to delay a month and get, so like this, instead of getting May, we would get April's numbers. So we'd always be a little month behind. Get both, there you go.
You get the actual numbers and then what the
preliminary are,
just wouldn't be, yeah. Which that, yeah, I like that one. Actual numbers and preliminary.
Did you hear that, Kay? Any questions?
No, I agree.
Councillor McMullen, will you give us a motion then?
Make a motion to send Jenna to receive the financial statements as an actual for the previous month and a preliminary for the current month.
A second.
Vote, please.
Mahler.
Habina.
Potter, aye.
Ichari, aye.
So we're going to get 2 months now to look at. All right. I need a motion for the consent agenda.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
A second.
Mahler.
Habina.
Potter, aye.
Ichari, aye.
And department reports.
So you have you have a written report, and I'm happy to answer any questions from the administration perspective.
You said the third-party payroll services is being implemented. Where are we at in that process?
We are scheduling our kickoff meeting for June 22nd.
Which will decide how we kick off and when we kick off?
Yeah, so we're going to start the migration. They've given us spreadsheets to manually populate them, and there'll be some demo of it, for the fiscal piece and for Sharon. So a mini training. And then we get set up with the auto pay and things of that nature. So they're just going to go through all those steps with us on the 22nd, and should be able to implement it in the next pay period, as long as we make sure that we have availability for all the staff to get trained on how to input it.
Okay, yeah, that's awesome.
That's all they have to do is just input it and then they take care of the rest.
Yes, it's a beautiful thing.
What's your project for inputting, Sharon? What will that cut? That'll cut your talent, your time down, like by?
I would say at least 8 to 16 hours twice a month, somewhere around there, because it's they get the quarterly taxes and everything, and they do all the PERS reporting and everything. if they do all that, that's going to cut it down quite a bit, because doing the actual checks doesn't take very long. It's all the reporting and everything in the back end that needs to happen.
Yeah, that should cut all that time down drastically.
Yeah.
And the cost per employee per month is
$71
a month per employee. And then we have a very basic HR module that helps track personnel records and things of that nature, annual ticklers for annual performance reviews, just all automated.
Holy cow.
I know. I'm so excited for you guys. Wonderful. And I know that because of budget season and audit season and all that good stuff, we had talked about an audit, a payroll audit
mm-hmm.
of the last year.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we at with that?
I still haven't had any, I haven't gone back and asked people in the last 3 weeks, but I can make the calls again.
I think that would be helpful for us.
Yes, absolutely.
Any additional information on the Recology franchise agreement? We sent that to legal, right?
Mm-hmm. They don't have any additional recommendations.
The legal doesn't?
No, from what we spoke about.
Okay. So are we going to move forward with that then?
I'm not sure if you want me to speak about it right here.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that they did say is that legal did say, because we were talking about changing the percentage of what the city gets for the franchise agreement. Right now it's at 3%, and it's been at 3% for 15 years. There's 5 more years in the contract. Nick indicated that a more standard level is between 5% and 7%.
There's 5 more years in the contract, so the contract's not expiring like we thought.
It's not expired. It goes for 20 years, but every year, you can give them notice prior to December 1st, I believe, for the following year, and open up the franchise agreement for negotiations.
Have we given notice yet?
No.
Okay, you're waiting for council?
Yes, for direction to do that, if that's something you're interested in. Then you have time to think about it before next year.
Okay.
But yeah, there is a threshold, and I can send that to you again. I just don't recall.
Can we put that on the agenda for the executive session for discussion only?
Is that eligible? If it's eligible, I'm not sure if it is, but if it is, for sure.
All right. And Chief Graven, did you have any updates?
Sure, thank you. So, with the neighborhood watch conversation, we'd be happy to help Public Works and whomever, all the ladders up and the signs. Just do be aware that if they do go on 47 or 240, we'll have a lot to be involved with that. So, I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if they do, then they'll have to be involved with that.
Right.
That's a process. Right. Things are going well with us. We've had another catalytic converter theft last night.
Oh.
A little after 2 a.m.
Sheriff's office.
Or that I know of. The sheriff's office came out and handled the call, and they were just here with my little bit to go follow up. So AJ ended up getting busy. But we'll be touching base with the sheriff's office who's out here doing the follow-up, which we appreciate. And I had heard, they didn't mind coming back out and doing the follow-up instead of having us do it. So there's still that, as I've talked about in the past, the rapport that we have in the sheriff's office, that
yes.
When we don't have the coverage, they come and help us. It's why we extend that to them as well. So it is appreciative to them, with one of them being in the room. Thank you.
Yeah. Can you speak of where the catalytic or the approximate area of the catalytic converter?
Locally.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
About a block and a half away. Really? Yes.
Wow.
So, as I have said before, and I've been here a little while, that we have always had an unofficial neighborhood watch program, and it was that neighborhood watch of the neighbors that heard what was going on and went out and chased the individuals off. Catch them, which might be a good thing. So it did happen again. So I've talked with my organization, and we'll be doing some changing of our schedules in an attempt to find out what's going on here. And I tasked AJ, I don't know if he was able to go and talk with Deputy Casey, who was here at Down for the follow-up, to update him on what we're going to be doing as well. So I don't know if that happened. Because he ended up getting a call. The deputy was here. That might still be here doing the phone. So we'll be to answer questions that have been asked in the past, changing our schedules up a little bit more and doing some other things that I won't discuss. But to thwart these things, because as anybody that knows me knows that stealing from our families. So mm-hmm. We're working on that as late of conversation today. I just wanted to extend that.
Can I ask a quick question in regards to these thefts? Is there any consistency in the type of situation as far as whether vehicles on the street, were they in people's driveways? Was it a darker situation? I mean, is there something that people can do to change the situation to maybe avoid what's going on? You know, do you get what I mean?
Very good question, and my buddy in the back is going to answer that for you.
Hello. I'm Deputy with the Sheriff's Office. There is no rhyme or reason. They're happening in people's driveways. They're happening on the street. They're happening in parking lots. They're happening in grocery stores. There is zero rhyme or reason. If they see an opportunity, they're going in, they're grabbing them, and running them. There is, it's not a specific genre of an area like too dark, stuff like that. It is literally everywhere. Every city in the county has been hit. McMinnville, I was just last week helping them because they had one that was caught during the act. It's just anywhere that they can possibly get to get them. Unfortunately, with those right now, the value of them and the items that are inside the catalytic converters is so high that people are willing to risk anything to get them. And that's kind of our quandary that we're running into, right?
Thank you. Yeah, so there is no patterns for us to be able to follow to do any type of a covert operation to set up on them. They're going to be at point A or point B. It's extremely random. And the challenge is that these are professionals that are doing it. There's actually professionals that have a shopping list for the night. They have their professional equipment, including airbags, that they can go in for the little cars, get an airbag, bring it up, have a catalytic converter cut, and be on and off of the property within a minute and a half. So it's very challenging to catch them with that time frame of how they're doing it. And I have not seen per se locally here that this is happening, but they're stealing cars and going out to do these thefts and just getting a vehicle that they can load up a large quantity of catalytic converters into. Fortunately, that I have not seen here, but one theft period is too many thefts, in my opinion. So but we're working on that. And obviously, nobody's here. I was talking about the catalytic converter theft. I hope you get a chance to go over and talk to Tim.
Well, it seems like here in the city, they're doing it as like a crime of opportunity. So their vehicles that are a little bit taller pickups, mid to late 90s, early 2000s, because there is palladium inside of those catalytic converters. And even though it's illegal to sell the catalytic converter, what they'll do is they'll take it, they'll empty it out, and then the recyclers will actually give them the money for the contents of the catalytic converter without breaking the law and buying the actual cap.
So we're working on that. If anybody has any questions or if they give us any information, And again, that's why I think it's a good opportunity to have a neighborhood watch that's organized, even though we have the unofficial one, to be able to have that intercommunication and to know what to do and to help protect ourselves here, keep our property safe.
Yeah. Thank you for all you're doing on that.
And also, I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm proud of things that are going on in the organization. Officer Van Cleve's been going to some extra trainings for leadership. He's doing well with that. I've fortunately been able to find a lot of leadership that has been free for the most part. There will be some, as I talked about, will be a cost, but for the most part right now, it's been a lot of free training. And it's kind of, I don't use the word cute because that would be embarrassing to say to him. He's not here. It's kind of cute to see that the evolution of an officer, and then when they start going through these trainings, and I've seen it a lot, it's just that the evolution of them evolving into a leadership role. So
he's growing up.
Yeah. AJ's got some ways to go, but he's still.
That's cute.
I just want to be a Toys R Us kid.
So, and the things that we're doing, we do have some activities that are coming up with the National Night Out. It's going to be coming up soon. Different things that we have going on. But things are going well with the organization. And anybody has any questions, feel free to hit one of us up.
Anything we should know about National Night Out, what we can anticipate?
We have a planning meeting coming up, and it is
June 21st at 6 o'clock at the fire station.
And are you taking anybody that wants to volunteer, or
anybody that wants to help plan it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. National Night Out is August 2nd.
So things are getting prepared for Derby Days, for the parade. I'm going to have my organization reach out to the sheriff's office, usually the cadets that come out to help out with traffic control and stuff. So we're working through that process. We already have the permits that we need for the parade, so we're good to go for that. The information that we need for the insurance. Just need to get the cars cleaned up and shined up and ready to go.
Make them pretty.
Sit at an intersection, do traffic.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Got a lot going on.
A little bit more.
Fun stuff though. Public Works, do you have anything you want to add to your report?
Just that we've actively facilitated some bids for ditching between 2nd Street for some of the storm issues that they're having over there. That's kind of a major thing. We also got a bid on replacing hemlock, the whole street. Oh, let me take that back. It's roughly around 575 feet. It was a pretty good quote they gave us, around $15,000. After I found out that the developer will not be doing a half road improvement, they will be doing a ditching. So they're going to ditch that whole water line in. So none of that road is going to get improved on their dollar. So I actively sought out bids for that, and it was substantially pretty low compared to comparatives that were around 28 to 32. So talked to Pager about that, and you know, hopefully we can facilitate that and make that happen for the community.
Wasn't that part of their bid?
So in regards to that, so we're kind of moving forward to try to, there again, just kind of better things on that road. It's taking a beating for a long time, as Rocky probably knows most of all. So in the water treatment aspect, things have been running great up there, honestly. And like to Brian's point, we've been really working diligently on trying to figure out any water loss we have in between the water plant and the reservoir right now. So OAWU is going to come up and do a sample with us, and we're going to actually put in a 3/4 inch meter to measure loss between those two points during low flows, along with the leak detection that Brian pointed on. Going to get the master meter calibrated at the water plants. We'll have a better precise number of what's leaving the plant in that regard. That's happening this June 15th. There again, we got the letter of intent in. It's kind of redundant thing there. Water distribution, we're just actively seeking out leaks. We replaced one, and we have another one on second that we have cut out and ready to go. It's going to be also happening 14th this month. Wastewater collections, really just coming up with a system now. We order some product that we can facilitate the actual manhole now, get down there and do some INI kind of retention, start blocking those with kind of an epoxies type material. Other than that, as you can see there on the paper, we're just prepping the park, getting ready for all the summer activities. And on that note with the park, we did get a bid for like $1,200 for the handicap parking.
That's it?
Yes.
We thought it was going to be so much more.
Disabled.
Disabled. Do we have the funding to move forward on that?
I spoke with Patriot. I mean, it's just a matter of scheduling that for July after the budget's done and kind of bringing some of it out of contingency to make it happen.
Is there any way we can get done before Derby Days? Because it was because of citizens that were attending Derby Days events that couldn't get out of their vehicles to get onto the concrete and be part of the event.
That'd be a conversation with the council if you guys want to do that. It's with
yes, I think we probably squeeze it out of the street budget, and it's 1200.
Correct.
Can we squeeze that? Can we make it happen before Derby Days?
Yeah, we will. We'll do it.
Yeah, it would make so many people happy.
Sure.
Excellent.
Actively, that's why I was looking at getting hemlock replaced. Was kind of give that presentation on Derby Days. So, and I know the financing is there for that project also. I know that's, I don't want to step on Patriot's toes here, but that's something I think we should really actively move on because the contractor's open this month, but he's willing to push it back if we had to, but the options there on the table. Perfect. Yeah. Great. So that's part of the detour route. So if you guys want to go that route, we can get slam dunk all these projects. It's there for the taking. The finance end of it is financial end of it is there.
Does council have any objections to moving forward on that?
Not really an objection. I'm just wondering if we put down if you repave Hemlock and then the construction starts on the subdivision, what does that do to a brand new street? Because they'll use it.
Yeah, I mean That's a good question, Kay. The only thing I can really answer to that is our conversations with the contractor who would be doing the paving was going to put something in regards to like a T3, which was like a drivable, stronger material. There again, it is construction. It's heavy equipment. There again, I mean, for me personally, if we have a standard on that road and there is any scarring or marring, I mean, that's something we could make that contractor pay for and replace.
But it will look like a patch.
Well,
that's what I was wondering. Can't we just do it won't be attractive, but some kind of a patch until the construction is finished and then repave it? That just makes more sense. I feel like, if you do it now and then all the traffic and, it's going to mess it up.
Speaking to, on the civil side of things, they're going to lay steel plates down to, to go through there. I mean, that's an option. And that is an option, but I personally, Kay, I mean, in speaking regards to that, I would not do kind of a cheap improvement because then you're coming back and you're just adding to that project. So a $15,000 project went to 20,000, 21, 22,000.
Okay, so is it kind of like then if you repave it and then is it for them, you break it, you buy it? If they drive over and over it and it damages it, is that something they would fix?
Yes.
Are they laying pipe under the road bed or in the right of
way? Trenching it to the side, to the left of it.
Okay, so I take back what I said with the patch.
Yeah. Okay. It's just more or less the tracking back and forth if there was that. Just food for thought. I mean, it's there.
Keep us posted on it.
Yeah. I mean, It scheduled them out just to pertain a date. So if you guys wanted to move around July 5th, July 6th, we could do that also. But you still have the contractor aspect.
What do you need from us?
If you guys wanted to approve it, we could move rather quick. And I could show everybody the bid so you see the hard numbers before you approve it. I guess that would probably be the appropriate way to do it.
What's the length of the project, Jason?
575 feet, linear feet.
Time length.
Oh. They said they could start latter part of June or early mid-June, excuse me, or they could push it back to July 5th.
Is it going to take them a day, a week?
2 days.
2 days. Sorry if you already said that.
And the contractor did, like I said, the materials drivable upon applied. So once it's applied, it's true. We wouldn't have detour traffic around. Houses would probably be houses that are on Hemlock there. It would be a burden.
We'll get us some numbers then.
Yeah, we'll get you guys the hard numbers.
Wonderful. Thank you. Anything else?
No. I mean, to Graven's point, the staff's doing great. We've kind of taken one of our staff members and started to work with him more on being on call in regards to water treatment and starting to take on some more of those responsibilities just because he's obtaining so much and working towards getting them. The utility worker, that individual, is certification in level ones. So
that's nice.
Yeah.
Nice to have that.
That's all for me.
Okay, thank you. And public comment responses from previous month. Do we have responses to those?
I don't have any specific questions that I recall from last month.
Okay. All right. So I want to go back to the Water Advisory Committee and talk about the request that they submitted and discuss it and give them some direction and take votes on making those projects happen. Let's start first with the log jam, the number one. The company's paying for it, $100,000. They will work with AKS to make it happen. Is there any objections to that? Any?
It's a great idea, but Oregon procurement law will not allow them just to do the project because they're paying for it. You have to have go through a competitive process for the construction.
Even though it was part of their agreement?
It's not on private property.
So would the other agencies that were put in a bid, would they have to then pay for it too?
Not agencies, no, but for construction, you do have to have a competitive bidding process.
So we put it out to competitive bid. I'm trying to understand.
Yeah.
So we put it out to competitive bid and a company other than HBH gets it. And they're gonna donate their time and their money and $100,000 to make it happen?
I don't know. It's not part of a development agreement or anything. So I think it's a great idea. And if they follow through, that's awesome. But I think that legal will probably let you know that they can't have that project outright. It's not on the site.
I guess I could ask a question. So more or less for myself, I can't speak for the Water Advisory Committee, but I think for me, I was looking more or less towards HBH facilitating all of the permitting that was part of that process. Once it goes to contracting, then the developer takes on that cost.
Yeah, so you can write an RFP that says that permitting goes this one way if it's under a certain estimated amount and construction goes another way. That's fine, but again, there's these spending thresholds, and especially when you have a $100,000 project, and it would surprise me since the inflation is going haywire right now with construction costs going up like 20%. And you hit the the bacon pay equity issue too, and that makes the project even more expensive, but you have to have that certified payroll. component to the project at $100,000 in Oregon. So
the developer can come back with clarification on that, then what they were talking about.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great idea. And if they're willing to do that, we'll need to have a development agreement with them, not just a proposal that's reviewed by legal. And then I can let you know or just confirm with legal what the parameters are for the competitive bidding process.
If it's a donation, then it's not necessarily needing a bid.
Yeah, so I mean, that might be another way of looking at it. So, I would really like that to work.
That would have to be on paper though, is what you're saying.
Oh yeah, at the very least. But yeah, I mean, other construction companies get really cranky when someone gets an in on those potential projects.
But they're not gonna wanna donate.
I would recommend that you've already, I see you contracted with local governments. I would ask them, they're up on all of the procurement. I know the new procurement levels for government has gone up to like 150,000, 125 to 150.
Sounds like we need more information.
Because I know we did not have to go down to it for our brush route because it was under the threshold of procurement laws. And they helped us with that.
Well, the city did just adopt new rules about 3 months ago that we're consistent with. And I do understand that. But I think that the simple thing to do is just to make sure that legal, who's very adept at this certain contracting issue, can get back to us within a few minutes. And then I can clarify that for everyone. Okay.
So I don't want to get too skewed here. I know everybody's cut for time here, but because it's a donation, that was my understanding. I'm going to just bring this to the table and hear me out. Could we use that 100,000? I know I asked John this, but now that it is a donation, could we use that 100,000 to help with the preliminary and the description of the inline reservoir?
Yeah, I'll ask. I imagine that's probably fine.
Instead of doing logjam, I'm just throwing that out there. We could use that to help that project move along. Okay.
Ask about that earlier. If we did the second pond, that we wouldn't, do we necessarily need the logjam?
Because like to Brian's point, yeah, we have to keep 17 inches on that intake at all times.
So putting off the 100,000 logjam to put the 100,000 towards the pond is what you're suggesting?
That's what I'm suggesting.
It's just putting it off.
Correct.
Not eliminating it.
Not eliminating, just using the 100,000 to take the strain off of our budget, because it is a donation, to put it into that project, which would get us shovel ready. And then you would still have an additional amount to store or put a contingency for the logjam. Mm-hmm.
You'd have to talk to the developer because they specifically put it out there for the log jam if they would
I need to push that log jam. We've been a year talking about it, and from the water advisory, it needs to move forward. And if HPH can move that along in any way possible, maybe get it in this summer is a benefit to the city. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I would recommend talking to local government law groups because they're very familiar with all of that type of stuff. But they know a lot more than the local attorneys are.
So we need to answer the question about bidding is really where we need to go now. Okay.
I've been talking to Carrie at local government. She's very up on all of that.
We don't have an engagement letter with that group, so we have a contract with our attorneys. So we need to use our attorney.
Did you do an engagement letter here with local government law group?
That was for a different topic.
There's the same group. There's like 4 or 5 lawyers in there.
Okay. So let us know, and we'll then readdress the logjam once we know about the bidding. Yes, sir.
What is a logjam supposed to do?
I mean, really.
No, it's a good question.
Is it supposed to slow down the water so we collect more, or is it?
It's essentially it, yeah. It pools it so that rises the water high enough that it, we can get it into the intake. Was that?
Yeah, that's okay. I got a chainsaw.
I know, there's trees all around it, right? Just fall a few trees.
Like we've got the trees donated to go in there. It's just a matter of permitting.
All right. So we need to find out if we have to bid it out, which if it's a donation.
Yeah, it does seem kind
of hokey.
Yeah, that's a good word.
And then what was the next thing you needed? You just mentioned needed to be done.
Permitting.
Permitting, thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, I'll give them a call first thing tomorrow.
Perfect, mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, so we did the logjam. Number two, look at developing the flat base rate. My eyes are getting tired. For water, and then each user pays for each gallon used. So, a cost analysis. We need to get that in the budget somehow so that we can do that. And you said how much would be the cost analysis, or do we know yet?
We don't know yet.
We don't know yet. Okay.
I put a $15,000 placeholder in for a water rate study upgrade. And if you just want to add an extra scenario to that, then it would probably just be a nominal increase instead of a separate analysis.
And it'll be part of the same.
Yeah, they can run different scenarios for you.
Perfect. And it would be a small increase from that. So when that comes to us with the amount of dollars and we vote on it, then we can say, yes, do the cost analysis.
Yeah, I would suggest in the draft budget just to bump it like $500 to $7,500 more or something.
Okay. And then we can start that project moving forward if we've got that cost analysis and done.
That's a pretty standard thing right now. I mean, I know some big cities have it, small cities and stuff.
I mean, I get the
raising the money and the loss of money and all that. Is that a pretty standard thing now?
Not my experience, but I'm sure there are some examples out there. And you can get a trend analysis from them too. They can let you know, what percentage of communities go different ways and why. That's just probably the most important part. But yeah, so your water rates study 5-year plan is expiring this year. So you'll want to do that this year so that you can make adjustments for next year.
The underlying condition besides losing money would also be to even the playing field. That's what I was hearing earlier, right? Mm-hmm. So you gain the money back, or you'd be putting money back in the bank account, mm-hmm. and then it's to level the playing field among everybody, whether you use 4,000, you don't use 4,000, or you use over 4,000. It keeps it pretty much standard.
And they'll estimate, percentage of folks participating in low-income programs or limited income, all that. Yeah, you had Garibaldi, something like that. He's been around for 30 years, and he did your last one. So I don't mind reaching out to him just to see, even if it's not him who gets the contract, to confirm all that. For you.
Yeah, we could have to vote. I mean, I understand the reasons why, but once we sit there to talk about it or vote on it, I know the people in the room are hearing it, but just so we have clarification for everybody else, as to like the main reasons that we would go that route if we went that route.
So there's really no decision to make right now on the flat base rate for water until we have the cost analysis. But do we need to approve budgeting the cost analysis, or?
Well, I can just put in the draft budget, and then by virtue of the budget committee and city council adopting it, then approved it.
Okay, good. All right, so that will move forward then with the budget committee. Perfect. And the third one, include the budget funds, 50,000 for plan development, a second stream reservoir and hard pipe,
it to the treatment plant with an additional 20 to 30 million gallons of water available to us, can be completed within a year or around a year time frame, and would supply us 3 months worth of water to the entire city and districts if needed. It would not take away from the potential intertie long-term plan, which is a 5 to 10 year option. And
can I say something to that? So just everybody here understands when she's saying 2 to 3 months, that's at a rate of around roughly 350 gallons per minute, maybe 400 gallons a minute. So the way that we'd be trickling it in, I mean, it wouldn't be exasperated for, you know, 6 to 8 months. I mean, it's only 100 to 200. We're just supplementing that creek in a sense. We're just having that additional, like I spoke to before. So it's there again. I'm sorry.
So
I just kind
of
want
the amount
to
of water, we could make that last longer.
Exactly.
Okay.
I would like to see the language change to be that the budget committee consider, because I feel like I'm making notes here. I feel like we've spent a lot of money tonight, you know, put it in the budget. And I'm not saying that it's not important and that we won't prioritize it, but I'm just saying that the language kind of locks us in, and I would like to see it say consider.
Makes sense. Just be another thing to look at for budget committee to see if we can put it in there.
So in our motion, refer it to the budget committee for approval.
Is that separate from water media? Or is that the same?
For review, not approval, but review.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just get the cost analysis, putting that in. We approve it, then approve the budget, and that'd be
okay. Can I get a motion then for that?
Okay.
You got this, Marcy.
So we're just gonna make a motion. We for the 50,000 that we have the budget committee review that and consider putting that into the budget, this next year's budget, 21.
You try a second.
Vote, please.
Hadeen, aye.
Potter, aye.
You try, aye.
All right, let's send that off to the budget committee. Did that answer? No?
Yeah. Okay. Getting this.
Okay, good.
Moving forward.
Okay, so we got the log jam. So I've had a couple people bring to my attention, and Rocky mentioned, I think it was Rocky had mentioned it, yeah, about the parking stripes, and it had been nice to have that announced. And I had somebody talk to me about Jane Heinrich Park having some upgrades and updates and just finding out about it because they just showed up and saw it. And so social media, I think, I would like to encourage city staff to be more sharing of the things that they accomplish around the city and put that on our social media platform so everybody can be hearing and seeing the accomplishments that you guys are doing. Sound good?
I agree. The park looks great, Jason. It is so nice to be up there. It's very well maintained. Thank you for that.
Welcome.
Thank you. So let us know when you need a pat on the back for the social media, and we'll get it on there. Okay. Does all senior staff have access to that Facebook page to post on?
No, but they're welcome to it.
Might be helpful. Right now they send it to you and you post it. Actually, anybody can send anything on it. You just approve it.
It only has one administrator, so it's my email address. So I just give them my email address and password.
Oh, okay. There you go. Easy enough. Okay, so we have a budget committee meeting June 15th at 6 p.m. We have another one scheduled for June 20th at 6 p.m. if we need it. That is also Juneteenth. And some places are considering it a holiday and are not working that. Our city has not designated that a holiday as of yet. So unfortunately, our staff will be at work. a city council meeting to adopt budget on June 29th at 6 p.m. We've got the executive session coming up. Hold on. I think that's all I have. Council members, do you have anything additional that you would like to put in?
No.
Fire station. Derby Day breakfast. Kick off breakfast June 12th, 7 to 11.
And you're looking for volunteers, right?
I won't be there. So. And then high school, it's Sunday.
The 12th.
High school graduation is the 12th as well. Bye.
That's this coming Sunday, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
So noise parade at 7 o'clock on the 12th.
For the senior class.
For the senior class.
The noise parade. Okay.
And there will not be any kings or queens participating this year.
In Derby Days? Yes, that's correct.
Or at the breakfast.
That's
which,
correct.
Which they're usually that are going.
Yep, selling raffle tickets.
There will be raffle tickets.
Yes, there will be raffle tickets.
The department will be doing a raffle.
For some very nice prizes.
We're raffling off of Brian.
Not gonna get anything.
Okay, do you have anything before we close?
No, thank you.
Councillor McMullen, anything before we close? Councillor Hedin? No? May I get a motion then, please?
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Second.
We are adjourned.
I think we're going to share.